What's it all for?
Various artists.
Wastelands is an exhibition by Brett Graham, Ngāti Koroki Kahukura Tai Nui, currently on at Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki. The exhibition is presenting one of Graham's most powerful sculptural works, Wastelands, commissioned as a response to works of his father Fred Graham's in the 1970s for the 60th Venice Biennale in 2024, alongside a new video work, Whangamārino, a panorama of footage documenting a fire raging across the Whangamārino wetlands, which shares the same locational subject as the sculptural work it displays itself with. The works address the rich history of this area and resulting degradation, continuing an interest in Graham's practice and the impact of Pākehā settlement and colonisation on tangata whenua and Te Taiao, where Waikato Tainui lands were once abundant in resources and other taonga. The wetlands were confiscated by colonial government following the 1863-64 Waikato War through the Wastelands Act 1858 and New Zealand Settlements Act 1863 and sold as pasture. Being the first time Wastelands has been exhibited in Aotearoa, the exhibition shows Graham bringing to life his vision for installation, inviting the viewer into a powerful, ominous and almost haunting environment. I had a kōrero with Brett Graham about the making of Wastelands.
Kia ora, my name is Brett Graham. I'm a sculptor and most of my work is about looking at Indigenous issues and colonisation and its effects. I'm working for about 30 years. I was a lecturer at Elam and a student there as well, so I'm very familiar with Auckland University. I do have a preference for wood and I come from a carving background, but that doesn't limit me to use stone or all sorts of contemporary materials as well. So that's why the work Wastelands has a sculpture, large wooden sculpture, as well as a video work.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more in depth about the Wastelands work. Your current show at Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki presents a powerful sculptural work of yours, Wastelands, which was created for the 60th Venice Biennale last year. This is the first time it's being exhibited in Aotearoa. How does it feel for you to have it back home?
Oh, it's very exciting to have it here. It's, as you say, it was in the Arsenale, and that was exciting because basically in the corridor it was in the whole art world go down and pass that work in the Arsenale. But I had no sort of control over where the work was and the space it was in. Whereas here at the Auckland Art Gallery I could sort of create the environment that I wanted for that work. So that's the exciting thing to see it realised as I'd imagined.
The work was produced and commissioned as a response to works of your father, Fred Graham's, in the 1970s. Could you speak a little as to your initial thought process in responding to his work? How did you approach this?
Well, the curator of the Biennale is named Adriano Pedrosa from Brazil, and he's interested in sort of telling stories that hadn't been told before and giving minority voices. And so the scene was strangers everywhere, and so among that, you know, he was talking about Indigenous people that had been marginalised, and of course, Māori don't see themselves as strangers in their own land, but sort of created a platform in that kind of art environment to talk about Indigenous issues. And actually, the space I was in was quite cool. There was work by sort of well-known Aboriginal artists and Native American artists, and he'd included Sandy Edsett and Selwyn Wilson and my father's work, as well as Mataho and myself, because he was quite intrigued by the fact that Indigenous artists had been, or Māori artists had been engaged with Western art from, well, basically ever since Europeans Pākehā arrived in Aotearoa, but certainly that movement that professed to sort of look at Western modernism and sort of combine that with elements in the culture from Māori art. So, yeah, it was great that he allowed me to sort of make responses to Dad's work. And these are all things I've grown up with, family home, and I was excited to see them in that context on this world stage.
This work in reinterpreting a carved pātaka with carved eels twisting and turning over each other within it, wagon wheels to mobilize it, and these outreaching arms as handles is continuing an interest in your practice in creating these hybrid traditional forms. What is it that interests you about these hybrid forms, and how are they employed to communicate these driving ideas in your practice?
Well, it's interesting that you call them hybrid forms because, you know, most art is a hybrid of one or another. It's, you know, it's usually a combination of a few ideas to make hopefully something that's new or innovative. But yeah, my father is Māori and my mother was Pākehā. So those ideas of cultural crossovers sort of have always intrigued me. And in a lot of ways, the most dynamic sort of culture is created by that kind of tension between Māori and Pākehā in the country. And then, of course, much later, multiculturalism that has emerged. And all of those connections give us a much richer culture. So, yeah, I've always been fascinated in that period of around about the 1870s when the Māori and Pākehā population were roughly equal and the dynamic culture that emerged from there. So, you know, the idea of putting a pātaka, which used to be the way that tribes expressed who they were, and used to be the most prestigious kind of building before the wharenui. So the idea of putting it on wheels and making a statement of impermanence kind of intrigued me. And also referring to all of the turbulence of that time when a lot of Māori groups were forced into migrating because of Raupatu confiscations and the other events of those times.
In exploring the relationship between Waikato Tainui peoples to the Waikato River, Tupuna and surrounding wetlands in Taonga, each element of wastelands is very symbolic. Are you able to talk us through each of these elements, the pātaka as the base of the work, as well as the carved eels, wagon wheels and arms? What do you see each element to represent?
Well, as you say, Adriano invited me to make a work that responded to my father's. And at first I thought of making something that kind of looked like my father's because I was so familiar with his style. But then I thought, you know, it's obviously, that's one way of doing it. But then I thought I would actually make a work that responded to all of the ideas that he was showing in his work. And so he was talking about legends of Tinero. And also one of the works is about Tangaroa, the god of the sea. So his works are really exploring the way Indigenous people respond to nature and those pūrākau, as we'd say, those sort of fundamental stories about that give us clues as to how we respond to nature. And yeah, so that was the starting point, and sort of bringing it forward to 2024 when I made the work looking at how different those points of view were between sort of Indigenous ideas of the whenua of the land and the sort of extractive risk culture that was brought by settlers from Europe. And of course, things that were prized and valued like tuna, like the eel, and food sources associated with wetlands disappeared or were not as valued as much as sheep and cows and the dairy industry that's so dominant now, hence the yield from that work as a response to that. And also the fascination for wetlands. A lot of the land in the Waikato was drained, and it's always intrigued me that whenever you pick up a settler account of the land, it always starts off of the history here. The first sentence is always, oh, when we arrived here, there was nothing but swamp. But of course, that's not true. Those swamps are actually precious because of their resources. Yeah, so I wanted to talk about that culture of extractivism and how it's led to climate change.
Wastelands does seem to embody quite similar qualities to your work, Maungarongo ki te whenua, in your Tai Moana, Tai Tangata series. How do you see the two works interrelate, or where do you see wastelands sitting in your wider practice?
The overall theme of Tai Moana, Tai Tangata was very much, as well as looking at that relationship between Waikato and Taranaki, it was very much about a critique of that settler extractivism. So in that way, the works are similar. But in the case of the work, which is also a wagon, so formally it sort of is similar. But in that case, that work was sort of a homage to the Taranaki leaders and their strategies for advancing their people, like it for example, Te Whiti and Tohu at Pariaka, and also Te Tohu Waru. So it does look very much in form like Maungaroa, but the ideas are quite different.
For sure. In terms of physical process, what goes into making a sculptural work like Wastelands?
Well, actually, it was interesting because we didn't have a lot of time. We had the whole work had to be on a ship to Venice in 8 months. So we, worked with a team of people who are carpenters and there's another carver I work with. So there's always people involved and there's a frame that's been built. I made a wax model that was scanned by a talented friend and then we knew how much wood was needed and then the whole thing. This laminated timber over a metal frame and then shape carved. It's a lot of work for 8 months and a lot of people involved, not just me.
For sure. That is a tight time frame, so I imagine that would have been a lot. This sculptural work is of course paired with the new video work, Whanga Marino, which shows this almost panorama of footage of a fire raging across the Whanga Marino wetlands, the same area which Wastelands refers to. Tell me a bit more about this work, and I guess you've kind of answered it a little bit throughout your answers, but what about the history of this area made it feel important or necessary to create this work specifically?
Well, as you say, it was talking about the same wetland and Waikato. And while I was, just the start of last year, the Whanga Marino, which is like the kauwhata, the wetland there actually caught on fire. And it created a stunning sort of visual image of the fire in a line sort of advancing across over the plain. And so it's this beautiful, strong image. But it's also connected to the idea that I was intrigued with it. In Waikato, that a lot of the land, the bush and the wetland had been drained by in the 1870s, 80s, and then turned into farmland that we sort of take for granted now, this rich Waikato farmland. But whole areas like the Hauraki Plains had been drained or they'd been forested and then drained in that way. But always intrigued with peat swamps. Because they're 3% of the Earth's surface, but they retain 40% of the world's carbon. So apparently it used to be quite a common sight in the 50s and 60s when these peat swamps would be drained or burnt, and you'd see the smoke, and they keep on burning because it's the debris from forests, centuries-old forests that gather. And so when Whanga Marino caught fire, I thought it would be appropriate to use with Wastelands because it expressed a lot of those ideas about how the land was transformed.
And you kind of signaled at it much earlier in our kōrero today that installing this work in Aotearoa has allowed you to have a lot more say in the way it's being presented, and the installation of this exhibition is so deeply powerful. The scale of the sculptural work paired with the dark lighting and liquidesse black flooring and the crackling soundscape of the accompanying video work creates this kind of ominous and commanding space which the viewer is drawn into. Are you able to speak a little on... Yeah, of course. Are you able to speak a little on the installation process and vision for this?
As I say, there's books that I've loved, like Uruora by Jeff Parks, for example, that sort of express a lot of these ideas. But I was lucky to be able to exhibit it in that room. And then the floor is this beautiful reflective surface. I was also intrigued by the idea when people came from Europe and landed here, they had sort of a deep fear of first the forest, the Ngahere, which of course Māori used to retreat into as refuge when they were under attack, but also of the swamps and the wetlands. And there's sort of this phobia also of black water. And so that's what I wanted to give the impression of, that this was almost floating above the water and creating those beautiful reflections, the ripple effect. And of course the film also is reflected in the fire is also reflected in that, the shiny black surface. A lot of video installations, of course, they'll use this because they like reflections, but I wanted to do it in regards to the sculpture and create that sort of depth of the black water.
It's truly such an amazing space to walk into. I
had a bit of like a physical reaction walking into it, because it just really does have so much power in it, as I said. For people who do enter into this space, how do you hope that they engage with this show and these works?
Well, I love the sensory, in fact, that, you know, engages the sound, the visual force of the fire. People are always intrigued by fire. And then walking around the work, of course, because it's very tactile. So, yeah, I love sculpture and the power of touch and tactile surfaces. And then, of course, being so large, it sort of creates another emotive power. So, hopefully they engage with the fact that, you know, they can engage all of those senses when they walk in. And just the power of those things together hopefully creates a rich experience for people. And then, you know, I'm a firm believer that if people are engaged in the work, well, then they'll come to the ideas after that. And, but, you know, the hook is the visual sensation. And then,
that was Brett Graham speaking to me about his show Wastelands, currently on at Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki. You can catch the exhibition on the gallery's ground floor in the Taimoana Coastlines Art in Aotearoa exhibition until the 15th of February 2026.